Welcome to the So-and-So series, readings by early career poets.
Is everybody ready for intermission to end? It's got to end, man. Okay, so is Justin Marks ready yet? Justin. All right, Justin's getting a drink, and he's just going to leave me up here to hang. What a dickhead. Read some poems. Give me some poems to read. She already read her poems. Justin, I'll get your drink if you switch places with me, I swear to God. I'm starting to freak out. I smell panic attack. All right, Justin's going to... Now I smell Justin, who I sleep in the same bed with this week, which blows. Here's just.
There's no blowing going on in that bed.
Did you get your drink?
I did. Okay, if everyone's ready to settle down a little bit, first of all, I want to take a quick second to really sort of point out Chris. Before Chris started the So-and-So series in Boston, basically all you could do for a poetry reading was see Jory Graham or Seamus Haney. And you had to be going to Harvard. So I think Chris deserves a huge acknowledgement for starting that. So now we all have a cool venue in Boston. We can go on tour. So anyway, I'm back. I also represent Kitchen Press, which is my little chatbook micropress, which I started. Basically, was inspired by Shanna Compton. I took a class from her on how to make... Yeah, I'm picking my ear. Fuck off. Julia, I really wanted to like your poems, but... No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I love them. I thought they were great. If you weren't in the New School, I'd publish them in Lit. Anyway, Kitchen Press, it's chatbooks. A really good friend of mine designs the covers. He lives in Portland, Oregon. His name is Josh Elliott. I lay out and make the books at home. All by myself, you know, late at night, which my wife really loves. She's thrilled. Actually, I started the press while we were trying to save money for our marriage, for our wedding. So she really dug that. Anyways, it's a chatbook press. The two readers I have are Elisa Gabbert, whose book I just released called Thanks for Sending the Engine. It's a phenomenal book. Her bio is right here. The second book is forthcoming because when you do everything yourself, you never know when anything's coming out. Is Matthias Svelina's Why I Am White, and that will be out sometime in 2007, hopefully sooner than later. Anyway, without further ado, Elisa Gabbert holds degrees from... Ryan, I apologize for my voice. I have some swollen gland problems. Elisa Gabbert holds degrees from Rice University and Emerson College. She is a reader for Plowshares and an editor of Absent. Recent work appears or will appear in journals including Pleiades, Lit, Foursquare, No Tell Motel, Culture Vulture, Real Poetique, Hangman, and Redivider, as well as the forthcoming anthologies The Bedside Guide to No Tell Motel, The Second Floor, and Outside Voices 2008 Anthology of Younger Poets. Excuse me. Her collaborations with Kathleen Rooney appear or will appear in Me Poesius, Past Simple, Ducey, and others. And her chapbook is out from Kitchen Press, which, by the way, I have my books back there on the table. You can purchase them $5 a piece. And Matthias, you know, it's a common thread. I pronounce all my authors' names wrong. Matthias Svelina. Lives in Lincoln, Nebraska, where he curates the Clean Part Reading Series and co-edits Octopus Magazine and Books. His poetry has appeared in Denver Quarterly, Lungful, Typo, and Jubilat, among other journals. His first chapbook, Why I Am White, is forthcoming from Kitchen Press. Please welcome Elisa.
Thank you, Justin. Okay, so I think I'm just going to read stuff from the chapbook, and I'm going to read the first one and then some others, but after I read the first one, if anybody has it, like if you're my friend, and you have a favorite, just shout it out because I take requests. A sex act also, if you have one in mind. Okay. This is called Blog Poem for April. You can't invent a color, only name it. Like how I just named those contrails Benjamin, and then the sky behind them, Benjamin the Second. Now, retronymically, I refer to Ben as Ben One. If he becomes famous, they'll stop calling clouds clouds and call them non-linear clouds or pre-Benjamin for clarity. I can think about fame all day and compose apologies for my friends' friends who I've variously snubbed, write them into emails with personalized PSs. P.S. My love for you extends forever in all directions, or sometimes seems to. P.S. I include a swatch of Yves Klein blue. P.S. If the sky is a piano store and clouds are baby grands, we just hang out in the back and listen to a Casio Tones pre-programs. P.S. This P.S. is my email's last will and testament. It's leaving everything to you. P.S. Like my love for you, like the infinite crystalline watch face of God of the sky, my email will never die. Ornithological blog poem. You will be woken by the chirping of the birds, which is the sound of their egos escaping from their bodies in loud and irregular streams. They are acupuncture birds. Where the chirps fall on your eardrums corresponds to where you experience the pain. The birds have PhDs. They chirp out chapters from their dissertations. The birds do not agree that irony is dead. One of the birds has tried repeatedly to fall to its death, but always starts flying at the last second. The birds are excessively vain about their wings. They have been known to assemble themselves into bridges and other structures, an obelisk of feathers. Do not feed the birds. They are following a strict, high-protein diet. The birds are control freaks. Do not, under any circumstances, try to touch their beaks. One of the birds has assumed a leadership role. Another bird is plotting to assassinate it. Some items have gone missing from the kitchen. There is no such thing as Africanized birds. The birds are capable of eating almost anything, but are far too discriminating. If you are lucky one morning, the birds may chirp selections from your favorite opera. The birds are especially fond of Wagner. What would you like to hear? They have a very long waiting list and are nepotistic. Do not be afraid of angering the birds. What angers the birds is fear. Blog poem with auto rape. There are no new words, words I haven't mispronounced or used before, so I'm starting over with that a-hole who gave me an Atomic Harvest tape and a debate club shirt that said, making the world safe for hypocrisy. He saw those kids get killed in the bonfire, left a creepy note on my car that I balled up and tossed in the dumpster. I was eating an eggplant Parmesan sub, I lost that too. This is my fake abecedarian, blasphemous chiclet diary entry read by no one. Feels like getting caught telling jokes to myself that I've already heard. They pretty much tell themselves. I pretty much just sync them up with my laugh track. I'd like masturbation better if it could be a surprise attack. Yeah? Oh, it's so long. I'll read that one last. I'll do one more in between. You never take the first request. God, it's like pandering. Come on, come on. Somebody? No, okay. I will. I need to do one more first. Epistolary blog poem. This is the title poem. Thanks for sending the engine. Wasn't sure how to use it. I think I spontaneously combusted. That link was awesome. After I clicked on it, I couldn't see or smell anything for 15 minutes. Don't laugh, that fucks me up. Also, thanks for the thumbnails. I like the part where the ocean gets tiny. My coworkers really love the video of Patty Hearst, and one of them got fired. Thanks for the Google Maps API. I designed a zero-sum cosmos, so when my page views go up, your fruit punch tastes worse. Thanks for forwarding the message from your dad. For a second there, I totally forgot I existed. And thanks for telling me about that contest. That night, I had this dream where it was so cold in the woods, I had to crawl inside a dead stag. Remind me to show you how I turned Shakespeare's tragedies into PowerPoint slides. Thanks for sending me your manuscript. Your talk was sold out, so I went to the park and gave all my money to a stranger and caught up with a swarm of bees and got some good ideas for the epilogue to my murder-suicide. All right, I've never read this one before, so it might be kind of weird. Blog poem with epigraph. And the epigraph is, every poem in my work folder is a letter of resignation. Bill Knott. Every poem I write is a rejection slip. Every poem I write is a radar blip. Every poem I write goes out for cigarettes and never comes home. Every poem I write has Stockholm syndrome. Every poem I write is a love letter to an enemy. Every poem I write is a cry for help instead of fortune cookie. Every poem I write is an abandoned mine. Every poem I write is a police outline. Every poem I write is hooked on MTV. Every poem I write is not as good as the movie. Every poem I write is a stone dropped down into the chasm. Every poem I write is an anachronism. Every poem I write is an unreturned phone call. Every poem I write is an uncaught fly ball. Every poem I write is a portrait of my brother. Every poem I write is a teenage mother. Every poem I write is the unknown soldier. Every poem I write carries my weight on its shoulders. Every poem I write is a Turing machine. Every poem I write tells me it's only a dream. Every poem I write is a newly discovered endangered bird. Every poem I write is a never before heard unpronounceable word. Every poem I write is a Wikipedia entry. Every poem I write is a message in an invisible bottle floating on an invisible sea. Gotta switch sides. Every poem I write is a pointed letter to an invisible editor. Every poem I write is to you as the bull is to the matador. Every poem I write is a removable tattoo. Every poem I write has abandonment issues. Every poem I write is painstakingly engraved on a grain of rice. Every poem I write is being carved into an already melting block of ice. Every poem I write is a deus ex machina. Every poem I write wants to increase its length plus stamina. Every poem I write is a tape being eaten. Every poem I write is a horse being beaten. Every poem I write is a note passed under an invisible table to my lover. Every poem I write is a party tainted by the pre-nostalgia for my hangover. Every poem I write has a plot hole I could walk through because the hole is me-shaped. Every poem I write is an auto-rape.
Hi, I'm Matthias. My mom called me and left a message. She told me to remember that the audience wants to dislike my poems. So, feel free to talk and make phone calls as I read. I'm gonna read from, Don't Talk While I'm Bantering. Some respect, buddy. I'm going to read from some forthcoming poems from Kitchen Press. It's a book called Why I Am White, and it's a meditation on race and racism, but it's not the good kind of meditation. So I'm warning you that the poems are racist, but I'm not racist. I'm a hummingbird. I am a white woman of European descent. I am a white male, Caucasian, about 5'9". I weigh 150 pounds. I have no visible marks on my body. I have no memory of any events. I am a white female, age 36, and was married just 3 weeks ago to a black man. I am a white male, a homosexual male, a professional male, working in my PsyD, doctorate in psychology, at the University of San Francisco. My name is Jim, and I'm a white van man. I am a white Mexican. I am a white racist. I am a white wolf. What do I say? Howl, howl. I say it all day. There's a stone in Fredericksburg, Virginia, that is labeled the slave block.
That's true, actually.
When I look at it, I see it as a metaphor. I see it how I might see a stump. I see it how I might see a rusted out Chevy Impala in the ditch off a country road. My grandfather had a sticker that read, "Kiss me, I'm Croatian," on his workbench. When I was young, I thought it said, "Kiss me, I'm creating." I used to hide behind the metal shack. My grandmother could speak a little Croatian. I can translate a little Latin. I have a little glass jar where I keep my loose change. I wouldn't call this heritage. I would wear a t-shirt. I would wear a sticker with your name on it and introduce myself as you. I will never run out of whiteness, as a sniper never runs out of bullets, as a volcano never runs out of options, as a mirror never reflects itself. Used to play this game on the jungle gym called Gotta Get My Sea Legs. We'd chain each other to the jungle gyms and build railroads and watch the kittens snuggle up to their mother's nipples. You know the color of a mother's skin. That's from Why I'm White. It's forthcoming. This is a poem from another creation myth. Wait, no. This is a poem from another manuscript entitled Creation Myths. I fucked up. I'm sorry. It's because I didn't write notes at the top for what my banter is going to be. I just want to thank Justin for inviting me to read among some of these people who, on a daily basis, inspire me to like get out of bed and brush my teeth, and they make the world good. And a lot of you are people who make the world good. So, yeah. You're all fucking awesome. I'm going to round of applause for yourselves. This is a poem called Creation Myth. It's from a manuscript entitled Creation Myths. They're all creation myths. They're all entitled Creation Myth, except for a poem that's entitled Destruction Myth. In the beginning, everything I said exploded. I would say, "I am holding a glass of ice water," and the glass of ice water would explode. I would mumble to myself, "Where's my cell phone?" and hear a small boom in the bedroom. My first word was dada. After that, I didn't speak for 10 years. I tried to use my explosions for good. I said, "Shuffling feet," and never heard that scrape again. I said, "Crooked politicians." But the next day, there was a new batch of them giving press conferences after the memorial services. I almost said nuclear warheads, and then decided that that might be unwise. I made a list of words I could not say. Words like oak, mother, and pills. Words like journalists, femurs, and workers. I would walk around with my buddies after the bars closed, but once I forgot and I said, "That Dan Rather, He's a respectable news source, huh? And everyone froze. And my buddy Sutter, he punched me in the shoulder. It took 2 weeks until there were new newspapers. I told my fiance I loved her, and just like that, the love was gone. In the spaces where the things used to be, in the craters left after the explosions, a new kind of mold grows. It was orange on some days, yellow on others. It grows quickly. It always grows toward me. I am not sure what will happen when the mold reaches me, but I hope I will be brave. I hope I will not say mold. There is so much I should not tell you. I know your name is Seashore, but your name is Animal. That's my name too. Thanks.
I'm Anna Bozicevic-Bowling, and this is Caroline Conway. We're real poetique, or real poetic, or however you want to...
However you want to say that.
Right. We've been online since 96, and recently on CD. There's poems by Chris Tonelli and Justin Marks on the CD, made into songs. It's an awesome CD. Check it
out.
It's hot. And all... It's hot. And also in print, please observe. We've been hand-stitching these until 2 a.m. on the day of our departure. And they have a pink and a silver section, so check them out. And they include our tonight's readers, Joshua Marie Wilkinson, Matvey Yankelevich, and Sawako Nakayasu.
Our readers tonight are, the first reader is Joshua Marie Wilkinson. He's the author of 4 books, Suspension of a Secret in Abandoned Rooms, Lug Your Careless Body Out of the Careful Dark, Figures for a Darkroom Voice with Noah Eli Gordon, and The Book of Whispering in the Projection Booth. His first film, Made a Machine by Describing the Landscape, is due out later this year.
After Joshua, it's Matvey Yankelevich. Matvey is the editor of the Eastern European Poet Series at Ugly Duckling Press and co-edits 6x6, a poetry periodical. His translations of Daniel Karms have appeared in many literary journals and are forthcoming in a book from Overlook Press. Matvey is the author of The Present Work, Palm Press 2006, and his poetry has appeared in various journals, including Bombay Gin, Carve, Court Green, Fence, Fulcrum, Lit, Ratopalax, Open City, Toilet Paper, Torch, and Way Station. He's the co-translator with Eugene Ostashevsky of Oberyu, an anthology of Russian absurdism, Northwestern University Press 2006. He teaches at Hunter College in New York City while pursuing a graduate degree in comparative literature.
And our third reader tonight is Sawako Nakasayu. She is the...
Nakayasu.
Sorry, Nakayasu. She is the author of many poems about insects, mostly ants, 2 full-length books of poetry, and various translations of contemporary and modern Japanese poetry, including poems by the great under-recognized modernist Sagawa Shika. This semester, she is teaching a class at Bard College on Japanese literature and experimental translation.
All right, welcome, Joshua.
I'm just gonna improv here. No, just kidding. Come on. We got a surprise for you.
I'm not Josh.
We're here representing the book fair. This is Noah Eli Gordon. We just finished a new book of collaborations, which is gonna come out in the fall, and we're gonna read a couple poems from that. A girl draws a picture of a dress
and becomes kingly in her substitutions.
I draw a candle shadow
like a scar on your ribs.
Please hold still.
The reception can wait.
The toy trucks and their drivers
and wet cement can wait.
A true offer made of fence incarnate.
By now, the dazzle of our girls' comeuppance doesn't rasp.
Pilfering a speedballer's lime in the hotel lobby.
It can't even kiss the windshield good morning.
Christmas is bad dresses in a shop window.
And the fat lamp in room 686.
Gets fatter on a new kind
of classical music.
A chandelier crashes.
To the marble floor in the film.
A canister of dried mercury.
In your coat pocket.
Makes it onto the plane.
What poem wouldn't overwhelm the backyard and its blistering music?
Loudness was never a landing pad.
Book a room in the butcher's soliloquy.
To hear these sounds give their entrails.
A balcony seat for the first showing.
And you're halfway to cleaning your instrument.
Sign a lease.
And you're gonna have to chop tripe and race rabbits.
With the maintenance man's son.
Until your drapes are rinsed.
Of sheep tick powder.
Seabird, you can see who did what. Seabird circling.
Like the vague theme.
Of an altered photograph.
The first volume in our directory.
Of missing persons, daguerreotypes, their dresses, shoes.
Songs woven from the bone dust.
And stagnant light.
In their attics.
The steeple blooms from an industry.
Of self-aggrandizing religious zeal.
Matthias assured me that, but right before he read, he apologized that we were going to have to follow him because he was going to read so well that it was going to make us look like dicks. So, and I appreciate that, Matthias. And it's true. It was really good. Here we are. You can find our work in the book fair behind us. It's like booths 1 through 300. Sparrows shoot over the white earth.
A candlelit silhouette keeps the prisoner from his loneliness.
In an office 10 flights above.
You badger the investigator's secretary for a date.
You say,
double feature, mummies
and shit.
And her cheeks won't blush.
She won't even look up.
From the legalese.
What you have
is an apology.
Twining through a leash.
For the dogs.
In our garden.
Winter turns birds.
To a bird-shaped absence.
In the air.
Summer will harden the light.
Into bricks.
As all evening.
It was afternoon.
And the misnamed boy.
Tumbles from the sounds ascribed to his future.
Here is where I got the shakes.
And here is what finally punished our disappearing pilot.
Someone pushes a chair aside to show what the traveler meant by trapdoor.
How a telephone won't replace my lounging with the kind of longing turns a man's horse on his own masterless violin.
I've got this one big idea I like to lean on now and again.
It carries its own accomplices.
Anticipation gave me the blackouts.
Forgetting an ominous air.
Added to the otherwise.
We're unburdening. That's how you murder your monkey. Once and for all.
By counting lice in the collar of a sheep.
Twitching in the turtle-faced boy's
hospital bed dream.
That castle costs a pretty penny.
But then what's desire if not some kind of private fort?
Guarding its tied white sheets.
Dangling.
Like an I dare you aviation.
If you stare hard enough.
You can crumble a small space.
To see out from.
So say the seamstresses.
In the maroon parlor.
One movie camera.
Gets this.
With yellow pollen.
In the lens.
The signal is two women.
Standing side by side.
Before the elephant door.
Each time one of them speaks, another metric layer of sawdust pours up from the earth.
Their teeth?
Winter.
Their hands?
Gauze.
Eyes?
Little lions.
Their jewels?
Jewels.
If a tree asks to be cut into a casket,
while a man dreams of saw blades
from his skinny hospital bed,
then the nameless boy's
uncanny forgetfulness
constellates a swarm
of incorrect light.
Who says pleasure means you have been weaned too early for your own good?
Our private animals are not guardians of tenderness.
Water bristles
into snowy radio wires
until the pigeon boys ready their pencils.
Draw a train tunnel onto the kitchen wall
like a huge mouse hole.
Is this a part for touching?
Or a touching part?
The last car on the last train.
Like a tinted memory.
Carves a new set of tracks.
So here's the last one. This one's dedicated to the green streets over here. Here, your luck's dusted with satellite filth.
A drop of house paint in your birthday liquor.
We darn giant curtains.
For the festival of indeterminate animals.
The twins go again as old robots.
Up all night in the garage.
Sewing their great winding sheet.
A radio says your life can be this small.
Static.
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 Sutures. Atlas lifts his love song like a good doctor.
But am I good?
Listen.
There is a dress pattern scissored from tea leaves.
And chapter 3 marked with an incision line.
Gives us a good book.
Of gaudy enclosures.
Every reprehensible act.
Has its costumed audience.
Applauding utility.
As every tool has its desire.
For uselessness.
If you can unfasten a lion from the earth.
It doesn't mean you should. Thank you.